are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So for centuries, faith and science and faith have been perceived as opponents in an intellectual tug of war. Yet many argue they are two sides of the same coin, both seeking truth and understanding. So can science and faith coexist without contradiction? So let's unravel this dynamic relationship and explore how these seemingly opposing realms can complement each other. We are joined the line by our pastor, Pastor Matacha, who's going to be helping us unpack this one. Fundisi, good morning. How are you?
Morning. How are you?
We are good, and you, Fundisi. Thank you so much for coming through to speak to us.
Thank you.
Indeed. Before we start, Fundisi, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We want to discuss a complex issue about faith and science. We humbly ask that your Holy Spirit be part of this discussion, that you enhance it and make our listeners be blessed by it. May your wisdom supersede human wisdom. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. We're looking at a very interesting one, Pastor, of faith and science. So what are some common misconceptions about the relationship between faith and science?
Okay, so to start with, people believe that there's a conflict. Mm-hmm. Between faith and science, and there are quite a number of misconceptions about that. There are unanswered questions that people ask, like, can scientific research enhance a believer's appreciation for God's creation? Mm-hmm. Through the study of science alone, can a person end up appreciating who God is? How have views on the compatibility of science and faith changed over time? Mm. The scientific discoveries, are there any scientific discoveries that align with biblical teachings? The skepticism that is found in Christianity and science towards issues of faith in the scientific community. How does science point to God as a creator and understanding his role, his influence in the scientific discoveries or advancement? These are some of the issues.
Mm-hmm. So how can, you know, faith-based individuals reconcile scientific discoveries, right, that challenge traditional beliefs, for example, the issue of the creation?
Sorry, come again?
How can faith-based individuals reconcile scientific discoveries that challenge traditional beliefs?
Okay. So, to start with, faith offers hope, and it provides hope, and science provides the answers, okay. The how part. When we put science and faith together, we will find the aspect of hope and the aspect of how things happen. Let me quickly give an example.
Okay.
There are certain things that science can't explain that can be explained by having faith in the Creator. And there are certain things that faith will talk about that will be amplified or exemplified in the scientific discoveries that have taken place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So looking at history, Mpundisi, you know, what are some of those examples in history where science and faith have worked hand in hand?
Okay. I wanted to give you the Adventist, a little bit of the Adventist history.
Okay.
Where someone was a staunch believer in science and didn't believe in prophecy or a certain gift that manifested mm-hmm. in Ellen White. And this person was convinced can you hear me?
Yes, we are listening, Pundit.
Okay. So there's a guy called Joseph Bates. He later became one of the presidents of the SDA General Conference. Mm-hmm. He was a scientist. He knew about astronomy and the stars. And there was a lady who never went to school, who was in a vision and started describing the astronomical spaces and the stars that she was seeing in a vision. And through that, he ended up, it took him about 2 days after the vision, he went there, he interviewed her again. The lady was Ellen White. He asked her thoroughly and he realized the knowledge that she had said and given was not based on education. It was not something that she had learned at school. Having ended in grade 3, it was impossible for her to have known all those things. And he was, there must be somehow a supernatural power that was describing these things that he had acquired from school. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there are also many scientific discoveries that have been made by individuals who were driven by their faith or had a strong convictions. I'll just mention a few. There is an Italian astronomer or a physicist named Galileo.
Okay.
He lived from 1564 to 1642. He used his scientific work to understand God's creation.
Mm.
So faith will give us verses like God made the stars also. And science will explain that there are more than 200 billion galaxies with billions of stars inside them.
Mm.
Okay. There's a German mathematician. His name is Johannes Kepler from 1571 to 1630. He was an astronomer. He was a Lutheran who believed that his discoveries about planetary motion were a reflection of God's harmony and order in the universe.
Mm.
The likes of Isaac Newton, an English physicist and a mathematician, who was also a Christian. So most of the scientific discoveries that were made, they were actually made or within the Christian circles. Divorce science, true science, from Christianity, and no discoveries will be made.
Hmm. Okay, interesting. Then, so looking at, you know, we have these conversations over lunch, over, you know, when we are speaking. So how can Christians now approach, you know, scientific discussions, you know, debates without compromising their faith?
Yeah, that's a complex one. Okay, let me put it this way. First, a person has to know God.
Okay.
There's this notion that exists that knowing God amounts to becoming dull. Mm. Like when a person has failed everything else in life, that they wanted to do, a person has failed matric, a person has failed college, then they feel like God has called me to become a man of God.
It took a minute there to register what you were saying.
Honestly, so I was talking to someone a few days ago, and I said, it's almost always we have young people who grow up going to church.
Mm.
They go to school, they acquire degrees and what, and they stop coming to church because church is boring. And part of that is because there's less thinking in church and more Dumela fela, belief, only belief.
Okay.
And yet the Bible does not teach that. If you read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, God says, come, let us reason together. It means Christianity should be reasonable. God actually wants people to be thinkers and to embrace critical thinking. So God is not opposed to learning. It's high time we have qualified people in other areas who will also become pastors, so that we are like people who have failed other endeavors, and it's like God is recruiting dull people.
Okay.
And yet people who knew God, the people like Daniel and the Joseph, they became leaders in their spheres. Daniel was 10 times better than the wisest men of Babylon. True Christianity should embrace critical thinking. So how should Christians approach scientific debates without compromising their faith? I'm going to give a few points.
Okay.
Point number one, embrace critical thinking. Embrace critical thinking, that is, analyze evidence. Evaluate scientific data and research findings objectively. So objectivity is needed. When people bring things, it's hard these days. If we would take a proper scientist and we put him with the so-called men of God today, most of the discussions would die in water, or people would end up insulting each other because we have less thinkers who are believers. Okay, so we need people who can say, put the evidence of what you are saying and we analyze it objectively. Two, we should avoid confirmation bias.
Okay.
Yes, we should consider multiple perspectives and be open to revising the views. Let me give an example quickly.
Okay.
Someone would say, science says people came from apes. According to Charles Darwin, the theory of evolution, and religion says we were created. How does this work? First, Charles Darwin said it's a theory. It's a theory. Evolution is a theory. It's a theory of evolution. Mm. So when that thing is brought forth, one, we must look at when was this written? When this person wrote about this that is taught today, what was the person's position when they died?
Mm-hmm.
Did they still embrace what they taught, the theory they, or at some point they renounced their beliefs? People don't analyze that.
Mm-hmm.
They just come and then they start debating. They don't want evidence to be supplied.
Mm.
Okay. So there's what is called theistic evolution. People would say God created the universe in phases, and then things evolved from the manner in which God created. What we should do, we should analyze the evidence. Science will say it took millions of years ago for us to have certain types of trees and rocks, and God said he created in 6 days.
Mm.
How do we reconcile that? What we should do then, as open-minded Christians, we should say, okay, the Bible says God created in 6 literal days.
Mm.
Okay. And after the creation that he did in 6 literal days, the scientific data that people are using to analyze the rocks then, to say it took millions of years ago, when are they beginning their counting of the million of years? When God created the first couple, Adam and Eve, they were created when Lucifer was already on the planet. How long did Lucifer stay in the uncreated planet, so to speak, before God came to bring life in this planet? Okay?
Yeah.
So if we have planets that are uninhabited today, we know they were created when God created the heavens and the earth. He laid the foundation of the earth. So we have things on this planet that are not accounted for on the Genesis planet. So we have things like water. We don't see where the Bible says water was created on which day. We know that the planet was covered in water.
Mm.
The mountains, they existed, but they were covered in water. What God came to do on the 6 days creation, he came to create life. That's what he did.
Mm. Yeah.
So if someone then would say, how long has this water been there? The Bible does not account for. What it says is it was there. The Holy Spirit was hovering upon the waters. How long was the waters? The land. God does not create the land. He says, let the land appear. He divided the waters and he caused the land to appear. You understand?
Yeah.
Implying the land was already there. The mountains were already there. But when he came to do the 6 days creation and to put life, then these things appeared. How long did these things stay? You see, so we can harmonize this if we are thinking and we are embracing critical thinking and analyzing evidence. And the third point that I want to say is we should learn to distinguish between facts and interpretations.
Mm.
There are scientific facts that we should learn to separate from personal interpretations. If we do that, I think we can have harmony. We know that true science is in harmony, according to the book Education.
Mm.
True science is in harmony with faith. It's only the false so-called science that is. That is a problem.
Mm.
Number five, understand the relationship between faith and science. We should recognize the limitations of science, that there are certain questions that science can't address, especially morality questions. or questions regarding to purpose. Science can't explain that. The purpose of our existence cannot be scientifically explained. No matter how much someone studies science and become better, they can't explain the purpose, why we are here. They can explain the how, but not the why. So science will explain the how, religion will explain the why. Mm. Okay? And then we should also acknowledge the role of faith. Faith provides a framework for understanding the world. And science will fill the framework with facts.
Okay.
We should also seek to understand how scientific discoveries can deepen one's faith and vice versa.
Yeah.
Okay. So any scientific discovery that is not opposed to the Bible, we should embrace it. Then we should also learn to engage in respectful dialogue.
Mm.
We must avoid this I know it all attitude. And we should stop imposing our views on others. We should learn to engage with those who hold different perspectives and listen to their arguments without insulting them. I think that's the whole fabric of Christianity. Respect, be able to listen to what someone is saying and disagree, agree to disagree respectfully. Then we should also avoid being confrontational and dogmatic. We should approach discussions with humility and an openness to learn. You cannot, by studying the Bible, claim that you understand science and physics and how everything works. So there's always room to learn.
Mm.
And then we should focus on the evidence.
Mm. Yeah, indeed.
Ground your arguments in empirical evidence. Avoid relying solely on scripture or personal beliefs. So you can also say, okay, scripture says this. Let's see your scientific facts.
Mm.
Let's analyze the facts. Let's try to harmonize the two. Let me say the last one. We should cultivate a deeper understanding of scripture. Okay. Let's study scripture in context.
Mm.
In theology, they say you must understand the context before you understand the text. Before you pluck a verse out of context and run with it, what is the context? Who spoke these words to who? What was the issue? Who was being addressed here? And then we must understand also the complexity of scripture. Scripture can be nuanced and open to multiple interpretations. We can put one verse without even having to put the scientists there. Take Christians alone and put a verse and see what happens. A lot of people can interpret the same scripture and put different meanings. So if we can engage respectfully and we are both open to learn, I think we can engage in the scientific discussions without compromising our faith.
Indeed. Mpundis, thank you so much. You know, I think we are going to be learning a lot throughout the whole week with regards to faith and science. And I love that, you know, we must stop being our Mr. Know-it-all or Mrs. Know-it-all, because sometimes we may just lose the conversation there. So as we close, my pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please close with a word of prayer?
Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the short discussion that we had. Please bless it. If we have said anything wrong in any way that has offended you, forgive us. Bless this radio. Let it grow. Let a lot of souls be won through the robust discussions that are done here. bless the presenters and all those who are the team behind the productions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. Till we chat again tomorrow.
You're welcome.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.